Well, it is not high art. In fact, it's often black and white. But early television is beloved. There's a lot of new shows and ways to watch them. But for certain shows and age groups, the old-fashioned way still rules.
You're not reading the cue cards.
What's important about the cue cards? I haven't got my glasses. I can't read them.
Shh! Judy Garland doesn't wear glasses. She's all glamour.
That's not true. I do wear glasses. Hello out there. I wear big, fat, thick glasses. I can't see the cue.
That's from the Judy Garland Show, which aired on CBS in the 60s. And beginning this week, that show is returning to TV on Sony Pictures' Get TV Network. Joining us to talk about this and some other TV news is NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. And Eric, the Los Angeles Times reported this week that between a couple of channels, a lot of old TV is coming back. What's going on?
Well, basically what's happening is that there are TV channels out there that are specializing on rebroadcasting old TV shows from the very inception of television. Shows like Merv Griffin's first talk show, like Judy Garland's variety show. Shows that, frankly, haven't been able to be seen on television for many, many, many years. And these are channels called diginets. They exist because once digital TV broadcasting became the standard for local TV stations, they had a lot of extra channels. They have the main channel where they show whatever their main signal is, but they also have two or three tertiary channels that they can show other things on.
Well, let's jump forward a few decades, shall we, to a show that was targeted right at super young people, got tons of rave reviews. CW launched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. It's a story of a young woman who drops a really good job as a lawyer to chase a boy she likes to West Covina, California. And it's one of those shows where they just burst into song spontaneously. And here it almost becomes a video where she's kind of mocking the way women are shown getting ready for a date. Let's listen.
It's a sexy getting ready song. The sexy getting ready song. Ribbing and plucking, brushing and rubbing. The sexy getting ready song.
Now, Eric, based on the rave reviews, I wandered over from The Voice and watched this. I loved it. What did you think?
Yeah, I picked this show as one of my favorite new shows of the season, mostly because it's really adventurous. As you noted, this is a show that has musical numbers in it, but it's also sort of this comedy about a woman who works as a high-powered lawyer in New York, but she's always been stuck on this guy who dumped her when she was in high school. She learns that he lives in West Covina, California, and she decides to drop everything and move out there, and she fits sort of the classic definition of the crazy ex-girlfriend, and, you know, hijinks ensue when she lands in this place and no one can figure out quite why she's in West Covina.
Well, and it got terrible ratings. I thought it was kind of like if Lena Dunham from Girls would sing. It kind of had that feel to it. Do you think it's going to catch on? It's up against some powerhouse shows.
So that's a show that's going to rely a lot on critics like me to talk about how good it is and get and funnel people into watching it. It's going to be an uphill battle, and I think they're prepared to stick behind the show because they know that it's high quality and it's also something unique.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. And we just want to mention Donald Trump coming back to host Saturday Night Live on November 7th. Do you think he will have the same ratings pull as he's had?
I did a little checking on this yesterday, and I'm pretty sure that he is the only front runner for a nomination in a presidential contest who has hosted Saturday Night Live while he is running for the nomination. There have been one other time Al Sharpton hosted while he was a candidate for president, and other candidates for president have appeared in sketches. So this is history-making in a way. SNL is giving him a platform that they're not giving any other contender, and it's because Donald Trump is good television. And SNL is at a point right now where it really needs to seem relevant to the political discussion. And what way to seem more relevant than to take the person that everyone's talking about and put them right in the center of your show? I wonder about the implications of that. There was a sense on Saturday Night Live that maybe they tried to avoid featuring candidates as guest hosts when they were running for office, but there's no more tradition for that anymore. I've heard from sources at NBC that they're just going to deal with any kind of equal time claims if someone makes them as they come in. But certainly the tradition is to not give this kind of platform to somebody who is in the middle of a very heated campaign. And it just seems to be an admission that television is going to do what makes for good television, and the rest of the concerns that people might have for how it affects the country and this very important political contest will go by the wayside.
It's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure.
So what do you think? Should a candidate for office host an entire program? Look, maybe, who knows, maybe the other candidates don't want to host the program, but let us know at hereandnow.org.